This morning I want to talk about a life of opportunity. Colossians chapter 4. This will be the 19th message out of Colossians. Next week I'll wrap it up with message number 20. And we'll close out Colossians for this season. It's not a book, though, that you need to shelve and say, well, I've done Colossians, I never need it again. In fact, just the opposite. It's a book to remind us. So hopefully, as you pour over those scriptures again, as you read them, they will come to life quicker and more vibrant than they ever have. Colossians chapter 4, just a few verses today, verses 2 to 5. They read this way out of the New International Version. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Remember, he's writing this from prison. Verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. This morning, I want to quickly go over three areas that Paul covers in these verses. The first is to be devoted to prayer. The second is to be wise. And the third is to make the most of every opportunity. First, to be devoted to prayer. Now, there's several things that we have learned about prayer probably through the years. How many of you believe that prayer makes a difference? Amen. We don't know how, but we just know it does. Amen. All right. Prayer brings wisdom. We know that. Prayer provides strength. Prayer convicts us. It convicts us of the areas of our lives when we begin to pray, the areas of our lives that need to be changed. Prayer brings us assurance of who we are in Christ. Prayer allows us to worship. As soon as you go to prayer, you are worshiping God because you're acknowledging Him as the all-powerful one that can change the situation. So it allows us to worship God for who He is. Now, if all of these things are true, why don't we pray more? Why aren't we devoted to prayer? In the passage, Paul commands us to be devoted to prayer. What does it mean to be devoted? What to something if it's prayer? The Greek word here means to adhere firmly to or to persist in, to be devoted. What Paul really is saying is quite simply, keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up on prayer. I don't know about you, but there's times when prayer life can seem a little bit dry. Anybody ever gone through that? Boy, the rest of you guys are spiritual. Okay, those who've had those little moments where like you're like, I don't know what to pray, and I don't even know if I'm doing a very good job praying. Most of you not have gone through that, obviously, because you didn't raise your hands. But for us who feel that way, it gets a little dry at times. But Paul commands us to keep on praying. Get devoted to it. You can't be turned off by those seasons that seem to be a little bit drier than others. Let's stick to it, church. Let's keep praying. In that same verse, though, Paul gives us some tips on how we can remain devoted in prayer. Here's one of them. He says, be watchful. The word watchful actually means to be awake. Church, be watchful this morning. Be awake. Sometimes I think we don't pray because we're not aware, we're not awake to the needs around us. If we were just awake to the things that are around us, we would know what to pray for. How about the moral decay of America? Could anybody pray for that? Anybody notice it? Anybody aware of it? Are you watchful to what's going on? Could we pray for that? What about the needs of your own family, your provision, your protection, your wisdom, your shelter? Could anybody pray for that? How about, have you looked at the lives of your friends and seen the burdens that they carry and the weight of the world upon them? Could you pray for them? Have you ever noticed the various signs that may suggest that Jesus is about to return? Could there be some lost souls yet to pray for? The watchful believer, the one who is awake, is one who is ready to pray at the prompting of the Spirit at every moment. He doesn't have to wait for some future event to take place. Oh, I'll pray for that when that happens. He prays when you are aware of the need. We're on the lookout for needs, church, because we are watchful. Paul doesn't say just to be watchful, but be thankful. Did you know that gratitude is a motivation to pray? When you're really thankful, like if God has answered prayers for you, wouldn't you want to go back and be thankful? It kind of motivates it. Take time to consider and think about what God has done for you. Have you really thought about it? Have you dared to ponder the events that He orchestrated so you could come to know Him? Who did He put in your pathway? Have you given some thanks? God, thank you for orchestrating all that and causing that to happen. Lord, though I know the enemy was out for me, Lord, you placed so-and-so there. God, you let me hear the gospel. Lord, you broke through. Lord, you let my ears be attentive to your word. When have we really been thankful and really pondered what He did to bring us into the kingdom? Could you begin to imagine maybe the tragedies that the Lord has shielded you from? You know nothing about. The other day, my wife and I, we were going down the road and we were delayed by something. I don't remember what it was. It may have been our own personal delay. And we got delayed. There was a car wreck just ahead. Just happened. And my wife said, that could have been, that delay could have been just to protect us from this. You never know. How many times has He healed your body and you didn't even know it? Church, are we aware? Are we thankful? As we begin to think about these things, we should become full of gratitude and thankfulness. It should well up within us. There's a lot of things we could be thankful for. Thankful for His presence. How about His provision? His pardon? His promises. We need to learn to pray with thanksgiving and be thankful. Listen to what Paul asks for, though, in verses 3 and 4 in this prayer. So be watchful and be thankful. And he goes on and says, and pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. It's interesting in this passage that Paul doesn't ask, would you pray that I get released from prison? He's in prison. He doesn't ask for prayer. Well, it's kind of lonely here, and I'm getting a little depressed by myself. And could you pray that God will strengthen me? He doesn't pray for that. Paul sees a bigger picture. For Paul, there is only one pressing matter, and that is that he can be a faithful witness to others of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible concept. Too many times we focus, church, on the material things when we pray, when eternity is at stake for others. Paul asks for two things in this. He says, could there be an open door? The first thing Paul desires is an opportunity to present the gospel. He desires just a chance. Boy, if I could just have a chance to talk to the guards. If it was just an open door to talk to the civil leaders who put me here. If it was just an open door to the other inmates in this place. Because Paul wants to get the word out to whoever will listen. He just needs an open door. Church, do we pray for open doors? Do we pray that God would open doors? Are you praying that God would open up opportunities for you today so you can share the truth to others? Listen, you have a life of opportunities ahead. Pray that God will show them to you so you can be an effective witness. A second thing that Paul asks for is this, a clear presentation. Paul is really kind of practical here. I mean, this is Paul who's writing by the help of the Holy Spirit these prison epistles. And he writes to pastors and he's encouraging the church and spurring us on and correcting us and helping us. But listen to Paul. He says, I want to be able to have a clear presentation. Paul does not even trust his own ability to communicate the truth clearly. I need God's help. He asked the Colossians, would you pray that I could clearly present the truth? Listen, anybody can talk, and I'm good at it. I have a small mouth, but I know how to run it a lot. But seriously, there are only a few people that know how to communicate. And this is what Paul wants to do well in that place. Our goal is not only just to talk about Jesus to others. I want them to know the love and the power and the forgiveness and the glory of God. And I've got to convey that clearly. But that takes words. And I need God to give me those words so it's clear. I don't want to rabbit trail too much, but Paul, when he was in one of the places in Athens, and all these idols to different gods, and they had names, and there was one idol that said to an unknown God, Paul, by the help of the Holy Spirit, powerfully says, that's the God I can tell you about. You don't know him. He's unknown to you. But he made everything. He created everything. He built you and he sent his only son to die for you. And they became open to that. Church, if we could only understand how to give a clear presentation in the culture of where we live. Paul says, we need to be watchful and thankful. But I want to be clear when I present the gospel because he's going to give me an open door. Amen. So we need to be devoted to prayer. Secondly, Paul says this in verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Simply number 2 is to be wise. Ephesians 5, Paul is writing to this church and he says it this way. Be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live. Be very careful how you live. Not as, say it with me, unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Did you note the reason that we need to be wise today? We live in evil times. Now, evil times haven't come upon us. They were back then too. The question is, our eyes, are we open to that? Do we see that? We have to remember the fact that we live in a world that is not godly. In fact, you're going to face opposition in your walk with God. Like it or not, it's going to come. If we want to guard ourselves from the influence of this world, we have to diligently work at becoming familiar with God's word more and more. We have to pray more. We have to make sure that we are gleaning from those who are solid teachers, those who are preaching truth and writing, but representing God well. Church, we need to be careful in this day because there will be those who try to lead you astray. That's why I'm thankful, and I hope everybody has a Bible. If you do not have a Bible, we will get you a Bible. Everyone needs a Bible. Do not let church be your only Bible. You need to take this home. You need to pour over it day after day. You need it as a part of your life. Because church, we are living in days that we're going to be challenged to what we believe. We have to get this word in us. If we're not careful, people will convince us or try to convince us that our spiritual life is a Sunday-only affair. Sunday, that's all you need. Just go to church on Sunday. That's what you're going to find when you begin to share the gospel. I go to church. I don't want you to go to church. I want you to be the church. He saved you. He didn't save this building. This building is just a place where we gather the church together. So church, I need you to say, Lord, I need more. I don't want to just be who I was. I want to be changed. And I need that word in me. I want to be wise. It's more than just knowing about him. It's learning from him. We have a life of opportunity before us that we have to live out. And we need to be wise as we do it. So that when we represent Christ, listen to this, we represent him in everything we say and do. In fact, that reminds me of a passage that we've read just a few verses earlier. Let me back you up to chapter 3, verse 17. Because I want you to see this in context. Paul is saying all of these things in reference to this. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. church. When we talked about children obeying and parents not exasperating, we talked about husbands and wives loving each other and respecting each other. When we talked about being a good employee or an employer, all of those things are great, very practical for the last 3 weeks. But it's just as practical to walk our spiritual life with Him, not just our natural life with others. We need in everything we do to bring glory to God. Sometimes, though, you can say more with your living than you can with your talking. Titus 2, 6 and 7, Paul writes to his friend and says this, "In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching." What's he saying here? Hey, let your life reflect Jesus. That takes me to my last point. Point three, make the most of every opportunity. In order to make the most of every opportunity, we're going to have to do some things, and I'm going to try to make it as practical as I can. Ready? Here's one thing you need to do. You need to put your time in God's hands. You need to put your time in God's hands. Let's face it. Sometimes we miss the opportunities that God has given us because we're in a hurry. How many are busy? How many are too busy? And the rest of you aren't? Then you ought to handle this next part real well. We know if we take time to care for somebody, it will take time to care. How many of you know it takes time to care for somebody, right? Then it takes time to care. If we really do care, we will need to be willing to allow the conversation to go on and the relationship to develop. We have to be willing to put God's priorities as our priorities. Put our time in God's hands, not yours. Number two, keep your hearts open to His direction. We must ask the Lord to help us to be aware of the opportunities. Listen, church. Have you noticed a tear coming out of somebody's eye? Have you noticed maybe the tone of voice or the look of loneliness? It amazes me when I walk into restaurants and the waitresses and waiters, my goodness, there's not all of them are happy. But do you notice? Are your hearts really open to the direction of the Lord? Do you think you just went there to eat? You went there to be Christ. You might consume some food, but who knows that the Lord might direct you at that moment and your heart to be a light in darkness. Church, we miss the opportunities because I'm not really open. I'm just doing my thing. Sometimes people don't need a sermon. Amen? Wait a minute. Sometimes people do need a sermon. It's about the same. Now, some people, when you sit with them, they don't need a sermon. They just want you to listen and be concerned. And sometimes just being sensitive to them means more than anything else. Let your heart just be open to God's direction. Third, you're not going to like this one, but this is the crux of it all. Trust His ability to use even the weakest vessel. You know what the biggest hindrance for most of us is? We feel we aren't qualified to do anything. I can't help God. I'm not qualified enough. Let me tell you something. No one is qualified to do the work of eternity. Nobody. Unless God is at work through them. None of us. I can't do the work of eternity unless God is moving through. That's why when I pray over this service, I'm asking God by His Spirit to anoint your ears. More than just the message, your ears need to be anointed to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not what the pastor has to say for a few minutes on Sunday morning. I want you to hear what the Spirit is saying. God wants to work through. He will use you. When you are weak, He is strong. God used Amos. He was a shepherd. The lowest. How about Moses? God used Moses. He's a wanderer. Where, you know where he was going? And a murderer. I mean, like a pastor who has murdered somebody. Hey, follow me. I know I killed somebody, but hey, come on. Church, God uses a Matthew, a tax collector. I mean, love your tax collector. How about Paul? He is the religious extremist. He's out there, man. I mean, this Jewish thing is the way to go. But God touches his heart. How about Peter and Andrew and James and John, fishermen? God can use them. He can use you. The key is that we remember that only he can change a heart, not us. We're just a tool in his hand. The key is to remember that. We all have a life of opportunity. Let me give you an opportunity today. The first opportunity is for those who haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior. You get first opportunity today. You got an opportunity. You've come here and said, well, I don't have any opportunities. Here's your opportunity. In fact, today you can be forgiven of all your sins. You can be clean from your past. Today you can start fresh. It's as simple as just saying, God, I admit that I'm lost without you. And I trust your love. You love me. And today I accept Christ as my Savior. He died on the cross. He rose again. And he's going to be king of my life. So that sounds like a lot. It's just trusting what he did. Let him be your rescuer. You need to understand, though, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy journey. Sometimes life hits really hard, church. How many of you found in this Christian walk, it rains on the just and the unjust? It's just the way life happens. And so this morning, your opportunity is to believe and to walk and find the strength and the joy of the Lord in your life. Even when storms come, you can still have the peace and the joy. Don't miss this opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. This morning, can I have you bow your heads for a moment? If you're in this place and you say, why am I here, God? It may be for this opportunity to accept him as your Savior and believe in what he did for you. I'm just going to ask in this place, if you just want to accept Christ, I'm going to pray with you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I also don't want you to be ashamed of him. So in the balcony or main floor, I'm just going to ask as I look around, is there anyone who'd like to accept Christ today and make him Lord of your life? You just slip your hand up and then you can slip it right back down. Is there anyone? Because I don't want you to miss the opportunity. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I want to believe that God's going to do. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. This is your opportunity. It will change your destiny. It will change your eternity. Amen. For these three that raised their hand, I'm going to ask everybody to pray with me. Because it's good for us to rededicate our lives to. And say, Lord, I'm yours. Would you pray with me this morning? Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus. I believe that he died for me. And I receive the forgiveness of God.
Receive the forgiveness of God.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
I also believe. That he rose from the dead.
He rose from the dead.
And I accept you.
I accept you.
As my master.
As my master.
And Savior.
Savior.
I want to live for you.
I want to live for you.
For the rest of my days.
The rest of my days.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Church. For those three, listen, heaven's having a party. Want to celebrate with heaven? For those who raised your hand, listen, don't be ashamed of the gospel. In fact, all of us at one point probably came to an altar or made a decision at some place in our life to live for Jesus. And listen, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. But I'm telling you what, it's real. And it needs to happen. Let me close, though, with this. So the rest of you, to believers, you need to remember something. The world is watching you. Your family is watching you. Your co-workers and co-students are watching you. Your friends are watching you. They're wondering, is this gospel stuff true? Could it really have life in it? Could Christ really make a difference? Let me watch them. They're watching you to see if this truth is alive and is vibrant. I don't want you to miss the opportunity to live out Christ in front of them. Did you know that most people will draw their conclusions not from a Bible study or from a church service, but they will draw their conclusions about God and the truth from your life? Because that's what they're watching. They're watching to see if your life reveals that what you say is what you believe. They're looking to see, how do you handle heartache? How do you handle forgiveness? How do you handle anger? And they're looking to see, do you care enough for me that you would tell me about Him? You say, really? Listen, if this gospel has that much power to change, why would you not tell them? Why would you leave them out in the dark? Believers? Are we believers? Or do we just like the gospel feel? Do we like just the morality? I'm a believer. I believe that this gospel can transform a life. I believe Christ changes, and I don't want to miss the opportunity. I've been given life in Christ for the opportunities ahead. Church, I want to pray more. I want to be wise. I want to make the most of every opportunity. How about you? Go, Kim. Maybe you have to chew. Man, you're about to walk out with a cooler. It may not be real cool to use it in some of your friendships. But I'm asking, who's more important? Christ? Or this natural relationship that maybe they need Christ? What would happen if all of your friends came to Christ? What would happen? They're looking for somebody. Don't miss the opportunity. You may be the only Jesus they see. I'm struggling to stop because I want to encourage you. I want to do this thing. Summer's about to come upon us, and I know what happens with summer. We kind of hit and miss. But I'm telling you, those Sundays that you're not here, you're with somebody. Don't miss the opportunity. Opportunities don't just happen in church. They happen in life. A life of opportunity. Can you live it? I'm going to pray for you. For the three who accepted Christ, listen, I'll be right here and a couple of others may join me, but we want to get you plugged in. If you're not plugged in, get plugged in. Don't try to do it on your own. It's not fun and it's hard, but together we can build each other up. So I'll be here. I'm going to pray for you and then I'm going to dismiss you. And you're going to step out these doors to find the life of opportunity. It's ahead of you today. Men, come on. Fathers, our opportunity to just be what God called us to be. Husbands and fathers of godly character. Women, you can step up wherever you are and be the women of God. Women of destiny and purpose, wherever you live and walk, He's called you to it. Young people, young adults, come on. Live for Jesus. You got more energy than I ever will have ever again. You've got it now. They used to call me the Energizer Bunny, waiting for me to wind down. I'm starting to wind down. But I got a lot of life in me yet. You've got more if the Lord tarries. Use it to glorify God. Don't miss the opportunity. Father of heaven, thank you that you have saved us for reason and purpose, not just for eternity, but Lord, for now. Lord, don't let us miss the opportunities. We have a life that we have surrendered to you. Lord, give us, open the door, open the door. And Lord, help us be clear in our presentation of the gospel. Lord, come and fill us with your Spirit. Come and use us for your glory. Help us be wise where we live, Lord. And Lord, let us make the most of every opportunity, that you might receive all the glory and the honor in the name of Jesus. To you be thanks forever. Amen. Amen. Have a Jesus-filled week and don't miss the opportunity. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you.